Hello and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Greetings, Benjamin.
Thank you, and greetings to Trevor, I suppose.
We did French last week. Maybe we could do like a new thing every week. Maybe this week we could do a little sort of, like medieval thing. We could do like a little lute playing, and I could sort of say, good morrow, Benjamin.
Ditto, Trevor.
I don't think ditto is a medieval word. You should be coming back with like forsooth or something. It's nice to see you.
That's Bruce forsooth.
Bruce forsooth. That's what the medieval entertainer was known as. But if you went back down Bruce's line, I know he did do Who Do You Think You Are. I seem to remember it ended up with him in America looking at gardens. He had some gardening relative. But I bet if you went way back, there'd be an entertainer probably in the court of Henry VIII called Bruce forsooth.
I hope so.
Play your medieval cards right, because otherwise you get your head chopped off. That was the, it was sort of like a Squid Game of its day.
I mean, would that have been allowed? Because it would have been gambling. Now, would that not have been frowned upon?
Oh, there must have been. I bet in the courts of the kings and queens of that era, morals were sort of not really high on the agenda, even though they wanted to be seen as, you know, paragons of virtue. I'm sure, I mean, Henry VIII was hardly sort of a very moral man, was he?
No, I suppose he was a bit of a degenerate. You could have had the degeneration game.
That's it, the degeneration game with Bruce forsooth. It's not in the history books, but I think that's a bit of history that's not been told.
Of course, yeah.
I reckon we could write a play about that. Sort of a bit, base a game show in the medieval court of Henry VIII, hosted by Bruce forsooth. and it is the degeneration game. So let's have a look at what's on the conveyor belt. Amberlynn's head. A bout of syphilis.
Oh, that'd be good. I'd pay to watch that.
I wonder if I could write that. I mean, if someone wants to run with the idea, fine, but just give us a cut of the money. That's what I'm asking.
I think so, yeah. we're happy for someone else to go to the effort of writing it. We've given you the idea. With the ideas, people.
With the Come ideas, on. People. Yeah, yeah. That's someone like Alan Bennett. If he hears this, he'd be sitting at home going, oh, that sounds a lovely idea. I think I'll write that.
Is Alan Bennett still with us?
Yes, a friend of mine's just done an interview with him.
Oh, good. Okay.
About something, and apparently he's a very, very nice man. But good. I can imagine him sitting at home thinking, a little bit short of that. Ideas and the whole degeneration game sounds a lovely idea. Get to Dame Maggie Smith will have to be in the film version. Who would play Bruce forsooth in the film version? I don't know why, but I'm thinking I can't think of his bloody name now.
Give me something he's been in, I might be able to help.
He played Brian Clough. He played Chris Tarrant. And I can't think of his name.
It's not David Tennant, is it?
No, not that. It's the other one.
It's the guy who looks a bit like him. Yeah, Martin someone?
Michael Sheen.
Yes.
Michael Sheen, he could do it. Or I don't know why I've got Rob Brydon came to mind.
Yeah, I think Rob Brydon could do a good Brucey.
Yeah, or Steve Coogan. We talked about Steve Coogan doing more serious roles last week, but I could see him taking on that role.
Yes, that'd be good.
So there we are. The idea's out there. Do with it what you will, playwrights of the world. How's your week been, Ben?
Not too bad. Yourself?
Oh, I'm grumpy.
You're grumpy? Why are you grumpy?
Oh, just everything's making me bloody grumpy this week, Ben.
What's happened?
Well, where to start? I'll tell you what made me grumpy today.
Go on.
I had to drive somewhere not that far from where I live, about half an hour's drive, and it's now in the new low emission zone, which they've expanded.
Oh, the old ULEZ.
Yes.
£12.50 a day, isn't it?
£12.50. It's cost me. Now, the thing I was doing today was a favour, so it's cost me to go.
It's steep, isn't it? £12.50 a day.
What I want to know is what the hell, what are they spending it on? What is this going towards? They say this is to, I mean, if they just want to discourage you from driving, just ban the cars you don't want in there. I don't see the point in just charging me £12.50. I don't see what that's achieving.
Well, I heard Sadiq Khan on the radio saying...
I mean, he's as much use as a chocolate teapot, isn't he?
He was basically saying that once they've put up all the signs and they've put up all the cameras and they do all this and all the infrastructure that goes into monitoring the ULEZ scheme of £12.50 a day, then for all the money they make back, they're not actually going to make a profit at all.
What is the point?
I don't know.
This is what was doing my head in. Right, so last night I found this out. I couldn't sleep last night because I was getting more and more irate about the whole thing, because I'm just thinking it's just another way of taking my money. It's not about saving the planet. It's not about making London cleaner, because you're still allowing me to go in there in my old car, which I'm going to be in there for about 20 minutes overall with the engine running, right? And there's cars every day that aren't being charged anything that will be sitting in traffic chucking out their shit, right? But no, because I've got an old car, I'm being penalised because I can't afford a new one.
And I don't want to interrupt your flow too much, but can I just check, is the ULEZ thing...
Wasn't that a show by Les Dawson?
What, ULEZ?
Was that? Oh, that was Les Says.
Does it work in tandem with the congestion charge, or do you get walloped with both if you're in the wrong place?
Oh, if you're in the wrong place, you get walloped with both. Yeah.
So that could be like 23, 4, 5 pounds before you've even got out of the car.
It's ludicrous.
Forget parking.
It's ludicrous. And I don't know what they're spending it on. It's not going to do anything different in London. I'm all for cleaner air. And as I say, if you don't want me to drive my old car into London, just ban it. Just say, well, you can't drive your car into London. And that would piss me off just as much, but I think fair enough. But it's like, well, you can drive it in. You can still pollute, but we're going to take £12.50 from you. And we're not. All we're going to do is we're going to build some shitty mound by Marble Arch with the money, or some bollocks like that. I don't understand what they're doing. Always taking money from your left, right, and centre, aren't they? Any politician, any person in authority, it's like, how can we get more money out of them? Why do we need more money from them? Find a reason to tax them more. So you're actually going to take money from me, which will not enable me to buy a new car any quicker, because I'm going to be worse off. So it's ludicrous.
This is going to run the risk of coming across really depressing. But I wonder if I've been listening to too much political radio broadcasting recently. But I've had this real sense over the last few weeks of, oh, what's the fucking point?
Yeah.
No one knows what the fuck they're doing.
No.
They're making it up as they go along. It's not even organised chaos. It's just chaos.
It's just chaos.
I would have more respect for them if I thought, you know what, they're evil bastards, but they've got a genius plan in place. But I don't even believe that of the current mob. I just think it's just chaos for chaos' sake. No one knows what the fuck they're supposed to be doing. There is no plan. That's the terrifying thing.
I mean, it's extraordinary, right? You've got people telling us that we should take responsibility, wear masks. And up until this week, more on the Conservative side, but enough MPs were not wearing masks, right? And then Jacob Rees-Mogg.
Oh, the three most hated words. Right? Jacob Rees fucking Mogg.
He stands up, he says, well, we don't need to wear masks because we're all friends this side. Well, it doesn't matter, does it? I mean, it's a ridiculous thing to say.
It doesn't matter. You can have, everyone in the House of Commons not wearing a mask because they all know each other.
Because they all know each other.
We all know, famously, the coronavirus does not jump between friends.
No,
it
that's
knows.
Right. That's
it
right.
It knows.
It doesn't. I mean, that's the beauty of the virus, you know, that it doesn't jump between friends. When this stuff comes out their mouths, do you think at any point they think, oh, fuck, what am I saying? But I don't think they're intelligent enough. These people, they've all gone to fucking posh schools. I mean, how comes we've got a society that is run by people who've gone to posh schools? Posh schools doesn't mean you're clever. It might mean you're academic. But my God, these people are thick, Ben.
I think the art of Jacob Rees-Mogg is that he comes across, he's all talk, no trousers, because... people hear plebs, or, you know, as he would see them, plebs would hear his posh voice and his confident demeanor, and they would just bow down. Oh, the posh man's talking, he knows what, and they just assume he knows what he's talking about. He's a gibbering idiot. And I believe those the medical staff, the chief of science, and all those people that stand alongside Boris Johnson for those insufferable daily conferences should say to the public, you know, From a moral standpoint, listen, everybody, contrary to what you might have heard from some absolute berks, coronavirus will infect you even if you're friends with the people giving it to. And I refuse to say any more until that is, you know, recognised by the government.
Yeah.
Coronavirus does not spare you if you're friends with the transmitter. Ridiculous.
I reckon Jacob Rees-Mogg would fit quite nicely into the degeneration game play, because he's not really of this era, so he could certainly fit in. As he'd be like, you know, like in those days they used to have the village fool.
Yes,
he could be like the village fool.
Do you think when the cameras aren't on him and he's you know, having a quiet word with a close confidant, do you reckon he's as plummy and as stupid as that, or do you think it's a complete act?
No, I don't think it's an act at all. I think that these people, honestly, Ben, honestly, let's not stay on politics too long.
No, people don't want it.
And people don't want it. That's not what they come here for. But my God, this week, it's just been doing my ending because there's no sense to anything. Anyway, the other thing that's been pissing me off this week, Ben.
Go on.
You know, companies that just nag.
Yes.
As you know, I live in quite an old house that I'm slowly doing up, and it's got a very old electric meter, and over the last couple of years, my electric company have been banging on at me about getting a smart meter.
Right, okay.
And it's got to the point now where I'm getting at least one letter a week from them with urgent response required. Then I might get an email from them, urgent response. And that makes me even less want to phone them up and go, yeah, come and put a smart meter in. I'm just going, I will get a smart meter in when I choose to have one. Stop fucking nagging me. So it really annoys me, because the more they send me a letter, the more unlikely I am to acquiesce to their demands. just leave me alone.
I would say for me, I'm a big fan of Costco.
Right.
But they must send me minimum 2 emails a day with various offers.
Jesus, it's just leave me alone.
And I'll tell you one that I actually found it quite funny. Are you familiar with the app Duolingo?
Oh, yeah, because you were learning Spanish with Duolingo, weren't you?
I was. A while back. I haven't been for quite some time now. But when you break the habit with Duolingo, it starts emailing you. Even if you haven't broken the habit, if time's getting on a bit in the day, it'll email you. And you go, oh, by the way, you haven't done your daily Spanish yet. It's just saying, you haven't quite... Don't forget your daily Spanish. And then the next day, email. You didn't do your daily Spanish.
Oh, it's like having a teacher, isn't it?
Just to remind you. And then it starts giving you app notifications.
Oh,
don't forget to do your 2 segments of Spanish today. You know, you want to get your streak going again. You've lost your streak. And then it keeps going and going. And finally, Duolingo just throws its toys out of the pram and sends you a shitty little notification saying, well, these alerts don't seem to be working. We'll try again another day, I suppose. And it's like, oh, right.
Sarky bastards. Honestly, this is nagging. It's like nagging at you. It's your choice to do the Spanish. Do it when you want, in your own time. And again, like, the more it nags you, the more you probably think, well, I'm going to leave it now. Because I can't stand that. The one I had this week was Deliveroo. Do you know Deliveroo?
Yes, I'm an Uber Eats man myself, right. But I do know Deliveroo.
Well, the good thing about Deliveroo is you can, if you're feeling really lazy, you can get a grocery shop.
Right. I mean, it's all quite hiked up with the prices of charges.
Yeah. But if you can't be asked to go to the co-op, you can get a co-op shop and get it sent to you within about half an hour.
That's not bad for lazy people, is it?
Right. So the other day, I couldn't be asked, and I just needed a few bits and pieces. And you follow the driver on your app, his little bike coming along, you follow him. He knocks on the door and he says to me, because my shopping would have come to 2 bags worth. He said, oh, sorry, mate, I didn't have room for 2 bags in my bike box thing. So another driver will be along in a little while. So I was like, okay, fair enough. 2.5 hours went by, no sign of this other driver. So I go on the live chat thing just to say, look, can you give me an update? It's just, there's no rush for it. I just would like to know, because I don't know about you, Ben, but I can't chill out until it's been. I'm on edge. until it
comes.
Yeah,
I know what you mean.
Do you know what I mean? I can't really sit and relax. I'm sitting there thinking, oh God, is it every bike that comes down the road, I'm thinking, is this it? So I'm a bit stressed out about it, but you know, I just, you know, what's happening? And the guy says, basically he was just saying, look, just wait a bit longer. You know, it's just like, okay. But the minute I've come off that live chat, I then get an email from Deliveroo that just says, how did we do? How did we do? Tell us how we did. We really want to hear from you. Tell us how we did. I'm thinking, well, hang on. It's not, the thing hasn't been resolved yet. I'm not going to give you feedback yet. And it's like, how did we do? Tell us how you think we did. Rate us, please. It's like, fucking hell. Anyway, the stuff didn't come.
I knew it wouldn't.
So the next day, I then go on. You have to go through the rigmarole of sending your bloody list of the things that didn't come. I had no response. Nothing from them to say, oh, we're going to refund all of that, right? But I did get an email going, how did we do? How did we do? So I filled that in and go, not very well. I then end up having to get into an email conversation with someone. It was all resolved. I got my refund. And then I'm not lying. Within 30 seconds of the email coming to tell me that I got the refund, another email came going, how did we do? Tell us how we did. How did we do? We want to know what you think. It's like, bloody hell. Just give me 5 minutes. Jesus Christ.
Did you respond to that one as well?
No, I've left that one. It's like, oh. I'm not, I can't keep doing it. It's like, leave me alone. And Amazon's bad enough. Have you noticed this on Amazon, right? You might look at something. You look at something random, you think, oh, maybe one day that'll be a nice thing I can have. And then the next day you get an email going, oh, you looked at this? Have a look. Do you want it? Do you? Have it?
I've had worse than that. I've had almost like to the level of, it feels like a sort of bomb disposal team getting in touch with me from Amazon, sort of saying, oh, we noticed you put this in your basket.
Oh.
So you've got an hour and a half to buy it or the price goes up.
We'll give you it.
They don't say the price goes up. What they say is, oh, yeah, the price you saw it at, it's going to stay at that price, that discounted price for another 90 minutes. So buy it in the next 90 minutes or the price goes up. Go. I'm just like, Christ, okay. I wasn't quite ready to buy it now.
You know, Mission Impossible music kicks in.
Little shop around. No, I'm against the clock now to get my packet of toilet paper for a quid off.
I've had things arrive. I've bought presents for people. I've wrapped the present up. I've not even really looked at it. I've taken it out of the box and wrapped it up, right? Before I've even given it as a present, I'm not saying they need to know when the birthday is, but even before I've given it, you get the email going, please rate a review. What did you think? What did you think? Like, oh God, it's so annoying. It's, I don't know why much, they need it? To be doing it all the time. I just want to be left alone, Ben. I just want a quiet life. I just want to be left alone.
Mrs. Ben recently ordered some new lamps for our front room.
Were they good? Did you like them? Did you? Were they good?
Fine. They were a little bit annoying, though, because they came in a box the size of... well, you could have fitted six of these lamps in one of these boxes, and we got two of these boxes containing one lamp each. Such a waste. And I wondered if I could contact, you know, if they did ask for the famous review, how did we do? I could have given them quite a scathing Greta Thunberg lecture
on
the environmental damage their packaging was doing.
I'm being charged £12.50 for driving into a zone for about 10 minutes.
I know. I wonder how much Amazon have single-handedly damaged the environment with their relentless cardboard packaging, which is so over the top.
I know. I mean, you want it to arrive safely, but sometimes the box is so disproportionate to the object.
It's humongous. It was just, it was insane. So that, I mean, that was something that annoyed me this week, was that, because then I've got to get rid of all of this packaging for the smallest, and I'm filling up my car with all this Amazon packaging,
which you've then got to take down to the tip by burning more fuel to take it.
Yes.
So, I mean, the whole thing is so counterproductive to saving the planet, isn't it? I mean, it's just ludicrous. I think they're quite renowned for that, the whole sort of big box for little things. And it just makes you think that, again, I don't mean to go back to where I started, but you're going to shaft people like me for another £12.50. But what action is being taken against these sort of people? And also, you know, you've got this COP thing coming up.
COP thing?
You know, the big environmental summit in Glasgow. Is it Glasgow?
Oh, yes, something like that, yeah.
Right? But not every leader is going to be there.
I don't think Putin's going to be there, is he? Or the Chinese leader?
No. So, if you could make it a law that you've got this arbitrary zone. You go, well, in this zone, if your car's more than such and such, you're going to have to pay. Why can't we have an international law that says every fucking leader has to attend this thing? Otherwise, there's some sort of sanction against the country. Let's, if we've got to take it this seriously, and I believe we do, let's make it that it's international law that they have to attend.
Well, I mean, I don't want to be, you know, my normal smart-ass pedant self. But if you're trying to save the environment, then why jet in on planes from all over the world?
Well, do it on Zoom.
Well, precisely. I wholeheartedly agree with doing it on Zoom.
Yeah.
So everyone should attend in some way or another. But yeah. I don't think that everyone getting on unnecessary planes to burn fuel all over the atmosphere to land in Scotland for this COP event thing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's the smartest way of doing it.
No, I mean, that's ridiculous. So these days, everything... you can do everything on Zoom. There's no need to be jetting around the globe now.
Yeah, so I think it was Putin's not going to be there. Is it the Chinese? Is it, they call it the Chinese Premier? They call it?
I think so. I'm not quite sure. But he's not going to be there.
No.
The Queen made a bit of a statement, didn't she? Because she was overheard saying to, I think it was to Camilla, she said, it was so annoying, so frustrating with all these world leaders talk and do nothing.
Yes, I think she's a bit pissed off at the lack of action. A little less conversation, a little more action, said the Queen.
Well, the next day, I think it was the Australian leader suddenly said, well, I'll be there, mate. I'll be there. I'm coming. I think the Queen should go on, you know, like on those films where there's like I'm not saying the Queen's the baddie, but you know, like when the baddie takes over all the TV channels.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Something like that would happen in a Batman film.
Yeah, yeah. Like the Joker would do it, right?
Yeah, he'd commandeer all the channels and they'd all come on at the same time. Yeah.
All the internet streams, everything. Now, surely the Queen has the power to make that happen, right? Just phone MI5 and go, I want to control all the TV channels in the world. They go, yes, ma'am.
I'm doing five. The Queen to a supervillain like the Riddler or the Joker or something.
Yeah, but every TV channel and everything.
That's treason.
Like, every loudspeaker, like anything that broadcasts, the Queen has control of. And she just, like, she goes fucking mental. And she just goes, right, I've had it. Fucking attend this meeting or you're all doomed. I will finish you all off. I will find you and I will kill you.
I was going very Liam Neeson on it.
Yeah, she's gone very, one is taken.
One has a particular set of skills.
Talking of Majesty, Ben.
Oh, yes.
Did you see that the Queen turned down an award recently?
She turned down an award?
She turned down an award.
What was the award?
It was the Oldie of the Year Award.
That sounds quite insulting.
Well, yeah, and she basically said she doesn't meet the criteria to accept the trophy because you're only as old as you feel. I'd love it if she'd have got on to that and goes, you're only as old as the person you're feeling. I'd love it if she'd done the joke alongside that, but she didn't.
That's great that she feels that way, but I mean, it's not true. No, no, no one who's 98 years old, 105 years old.
She's 95.
No, I know she's 95 years old. But no hypothetical 104-year-old who feels 28 is going to die and they're not going to put it down to dying of old age, are they? They're not going to say, oh, it's a mystery. You know, he was snatched away in his youth because he felt 28.
Yeah, I suppose that's...
The prime of life, that 104-year-old who felt 28. It's not true, is it? It's a nice little pithy thing to say, but it's not true.
So, Charles Brandreth, he kind of runs the thing, I think. And imagine how he must have felt there, because I can imagine the meeting where they sit around and they go, you know, who can we give it to? Because, I mean, other people have won it in the past. Prince Philip was once named Consort of the Year.
I mean, hang on a minute.
How many other people were in the nominations for that? I mean,
if you're judging
that category, that's easy, isn't it? You're sitting there going, we've got to judge the Consort of the Year. Who's in it?
I hadn't heard the word consort until Prince Philip died, and I've never heard it since. So they might have just said, who's going to win this year's the Prince Philip Award?
Yeah.
Let's give it to Prince Philip, shall we?
Other people have won it. The artist David Hockney. Glenda Jackson has won the Oldie of the Year. Moira Stewart. I mean, they're all younger than the Queen, aren't they?
I mean, yes, but that isn't difficult at 95 years old, is it?
Ken Dodd won it one year. Barry Humphries has won it.
Imagine, it started off quite a high-class award. It's taken a bit of a nosedive.
But imagine that meeting. They're all sitting down. Giles Brandreth is... He's chairing it.
I was just going to say, you probably heard me groan earlier on at the mention of Giles Brandreth. Now, I've never met him. I'm sure he's a lovely human being. But there is something about Giles Brandreth that just rubs me up the wrong way. It's nothing to do with him, necessarily. No. Okay. It's my problem.
It's your problem.
He's one of those people I just wouldn't care if I never clapped eyes on ever again in my life.
But imagine the meeting. They're sitting down going, so who are we going to give it to this year? And he says, I've got this great idea, the Queen. And you can imagine the excitement. They've all gone, oh, I'll tell you what, this is going to really push the oldie out there. This is going to be the one year where the oldie's going to be, we're going to go to the next level. And they send the Queen a telegram. I'd imagine it's still very old fashioned. And they send a telegram to the Queen that says, congratulations, Mum. We would like to offer you the Oldie of the Year award. And to get the response where she's basically going, fuck off.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Imagine the depression in that room. You go, oh God, I think we've overstepped the mark a little bit.
Well, also it's not an award. All you've achieved is you haven't died yet.
But
that's basically what the award is.
That is an achievement at 95, isn't it? That is an achievement to have not died at 95.
I don't think not dying is an achievement.
I hope if I... Well, I mean, if I'm 95, if I live to 95, I want a fucking award.
No, I mean, like, if you... you know, are in charge of a fleet of soldiers and you guide them through a battlefield, then in those circumstances, not dying is quite an achievement and something to be proud of. But just to reach the ripe old age of 95 and not have been stricken down by now,
yeah,
I don't think is worthy of an award.
But you get a telegram from the Queen when you turn 100. I mean, that's a thing to aspire to. That's like a little award, isn't it?
It's just congratulating you for not having popped your clogs yet, though, isn't it? Really?
I suppose. But, I mean, if you reach 100, that's quite a nice thing. I think you get a telegram or a card from the Queen. I'm sure my grandparents got a card from the Queen when they reached their 60th wedding anniversary. I'm sure they got a card for that.
I'm fairly certain that it's not even hand-signed anymore by the Queen. I think it's printed, and I think it might even be... PP'd by someone else in her royal department.
Oh, well, there'd be a lot for her to sign, wouldn't there?
Would there? I mean, how many people? I mean, two things, and I don't mean this rudely.
Yeah.
Number one, how many people are actually getting to 100 that would take up that much time of your day? Number two, and forgive me, everyone, what else is she really doing this, you know, from day to day? She's busy rejecting awards and not going to ceremonies. And
well, look, I'll tell you what she gets up to. Because there was a thing this week, because you know she did go to hospital this week. And say,
I know, I'm very wary talking about the Queen, because we've got a horrible habit on this podcast.
I know.
Of recording, talking about people, and then, you know.
I know.
Usually about an hour after we release the podcast, something terrible happens.
I know, I mean, we could be really tempting fate here, but let's assume not. She's got a lot of years ahead of her yet. But there was a thing this week that... I mean, you know, when they always get like an insider from the palace. I mean, who are these people? It's just like the, you know, Paul Burrell types. She can't keep their mouth shut, right? So apparently a source close to Her Majesty said that she's knackered. I mean, no one from the palace is using the word knackered.
I wouldn't have thought so. One's shagged out.
Yeah, I'm absolutely fucked. But apparently she stays up late. She has dinners with pals, and she's been staying up late watching shows like Line of Duty. She's massively, I mean, it's only on at 9 o'clock. She could be going to bed at 10, but again, at that age, it's a late night.
Yeah, I suppose so.
And do you reckon she's watching, like, she binge watches Line of Duty? She's got into it a little bit late because there's a lot of series to catch up on. She's obviously, she's got someone who does the remote control for her. Just one more. Just one more before bed.
I wonder how much she ventures out and tries some new stuff. Like, do you reckon the Queen's watched Squid Game yet?
I don't know if Squid Game's going to be a thing.
Well, don't judge. You know, I'm sure she's a very open-minded woman.
Do you think, you know, like we've talked about this before, that all those jobs in the past. Again, if we're going to run our little play, could Jacob Rees-Mogg be the what is it, the guardian of the stall or whatever it is in our play. Because he's used to shoveling shit, right?
So, yes.
But so, you know, like they have all those sorts of jobs in the old days. Do you reckon, like, in a modern day royal family, someone's got the job of keeping the monarchy and the royal family up to date of what is high on the agenda in popular culture? So Squid Game is the thing. Someone are going to go, Mom, we believe this week you should really start watching Squid Game. Yeah, sounds great. I do enjoy squid. I particularly like calamari. No, it's nothing to do. It's a bit bloodthirsty, but the joking she goes, oh, great, stick it on.
I think it would be far, much more time sensitive and time, more beneficial with her time if she wasn't forced to keep abreast of everything possible that she could be asked about.
Right.
What she needs is some sort of royal butler, the sort of groom of Netflix or whatever we can call them.
Yeah, yeah.
Who can keep an eye on this stuff.
Yeah.
And just sort of stand next to the Queen. And when everyone says to her, and Mom, how does one feel about Netflix's Squid Game? She can, he can lean forwards and whisper in her ear, Korean pop culture reference, just nod and smile, Mom.
Yes, wonderful, lovely, terrific, fair game, yes.
You know, like, I don't know if they still do it, but there was a thing a few years ago when a lot of call centres started being based elsewhere around the world, where they were, the people who made the calls or were taking calls were told and trained like what the latest thing is on EastEnders and Coronation Street, so that when you phoned up they could make conversation with you while they're looking up your details or whatever it is.
Oh.
So do you reckon it's someone like that? They'll go, I mean, talking of Coronation Street, I mean, I don't watch it, right? But I saw this thing this week on Gogglebox, which I do watch. I mean, I'm not into soaps. I never have been. It's ridiculous. They had this plot line where there's a woman who's, I don't know what the story is, but there's someone who's wronged her. She's got a gun. I think she's going to finish him off, right? And just as she's about to pull the trigger, they're in a circus or something, or like a fair at this point, right? And just as about to do that, a sinkhole opens up and they fall down the sinkhole. And then, I mean, you just think, it's
the timing of that.
Yeah. And then one of them gets the gun again. And then the baddie gets the gun, and just as he's about to shoot, a rock comes down and falls on his head.
No.
And then someone else comes along and pulls them out with an anorak. Is just able to use an anorak and pull them up with one arm. And you just thought, like, that's Coronation Street. It's been going, 60 years or something. That's the jump the shark moment, isn't it?
Yeah, and just as he's pulling her out with the anorak, tsunami! Yeah. And then just as they're swimming to shore, plane crash!
It got me thinking, like, will these things, like those soap operas that have been going a long time, like Corrie, Emmerdale and EastEnders, they're the three that have really stood the test of time, I suppose, right?
Yeah.
I mean, would they go on forever? And I was thinking this, will Coronation Street reach 100 years on the telly? I mean, surely already they've exhausted all possibilities of storylines, hence the sinkhole and guns.
I guess once you've reached a certain, time period when you have to realise that people of a certain age tend to like Coronation Street. Once you're 70 years in, you're fairly happy but you can be fairly confident that a good swathe of those listeners have often died.
So you can just repeat storylines.
Yeah, who's going to fucking know?
Yeah, I suppose just in 100 years' time, there'll be the sinkhole and gun storyline will crop up again. And people will still be going, what the? Oh, man. It's just a loop, isn't it? It's just, so every sort of 63 years, there's the jump the shark moment. They just reset. They start again.
Yeah, I think EastEnders, they must be set, they're due a set of divorce papers anytime soon. And
So anyway, I was thinking about the Queen and the Oldie Award, and seeing as the Queen's turned it down, I did think if they wanted to give it to an old Queen, they could just give it to radio personality Steve Allen.
Can we say that? Is that going to get us? Well, you said it. I'm not getting cancelled. You are. Triv, do you want to do another commercial breakdown?
Yeah. Hey, guys. Hey, guys, settle down. It's a big deal, this one.
So basically, this is where we have an idea of, back in our sort of radio days, we'd have to come together and form an advert. We'd take a company, we'd take a terrible product or idea, cram the two together, and be forced to come up with a radio advert to sell this shite. This week, I have generated the business of church/religious organization.
Wow, okay.
I've generated for you the number 6, Trip. What is that on your list?
Number 6. Razors.
Okay. This has legs, I think. This is good.
We can shave them.
You can. Yes, you can shave them. Okay, so obviously sometimes you can nick yourself when you're shaving. So there's the blood, and religion has a lot of blood. And,
but there's old Nick, who's the devil.
Yes, that's a good one. Oh. Now, are we trying to...
Are we giving away razors at the church? Is this a way of enticing more people to attend church? You give away razors?
Okay, so we have to give away razors in our church.
Right. Okay. So is it to entice people to the church?
Yeah, it has to be some sort of... Yeah, because the business is the church.
Yeah.
And we need to push razors on our... That sounds terrible, doesn't it? Push razors on our parishioners.
And have you got to... do you have to give to the collection to get a razor, or just attend? Is there someone at the door? Perhaps it's given out as part of the communion. You got the bread, the wine, and a razor.
Yeah?
Or is it just someone who hands it out with the hymn books? You know, maybe it's because... You can slit your wrist during the sermon. It's banging on way too long.
I'm not sure we want to kill off our potential customers.
Okay, so it is for looks. So it's all about, basically, you've got to turn up at church looking smart. That's the idea. Basically, the church has got sick to death of people just turning up.
Unkempt. After a big Saturday night.
Yeah. Unshaven, hair all over the shop. You know, it was fine. Jesus had a beard and long hair, but you don't have to.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's a way of saying, if you're going to come to our church, you're very welcome, but smarten yourself up. And we will help you along the way with a free razor.
Yeah. Or maybe, you know, if we could... maybe attach it to a donation, because this is an advert. Churches are there to make money, don't forget.
Yeah, they're businesses, yeah.
So maybe with, some sort of donation of a certain amount, you get a free razor.
Okay, so it's like, you know, they have the thing called tithing, where you give a certain percentage of your income to the church.
Okay.
So if you tithe 10%, you get a free razor.
Okay.
It has to be
10%. That's a lot. I'd want a bit more than a fucking razor blade for 10% of my income.
Right, this is the thing. What quality of razor blade? Because razor blades vary. Like, there's not a disposable. Is this like a proper, you know, like a proper... What's that really posh one that's around at the moment? Is it Harry or something?
I know recently I've been talking about wanting HelloFresh as a sponsor for this podcast, but I'll tell you what, I know Harry's sponsor podcasts. I've heard them. I've recently tried a Harry's razor blade, and may I say, they are fantastic.
Are they?
Smooth German engineer blades. They are fantastic.
They're expensive though, aren't they?
No, they're not. I got from Sainsbury's for £8.
£8, okay.
Gillette will cost you much more than that.
I recently bought a Gillette one that was, I think it was £12.
There you go.
With four blades in it, and it's all right.
That's 33% more expensive than one of the amazing Harry's razors that could be sponsoring this podcast.
So, old Harry, of course, another name for the devil.
There you go. We're onto something now. Can we be sued, by the way, if we
by the church?
Yeah, no, by Harry's razors. If we enlist them in our in this podcast advertising campaign against their will. Can they do, I mean, this is hypothetical, isn't it? This is a...
Yeah. Of course it is. This isn't a real initiative. Can you imagine if this was a real...
Jesus or Harry's coming after me.
This Christmas, the Church of England have announced as part of an initiative for Christmas that free razors are going to be given away. That's not going to happen. This is completely hypothetical.
Good. Now that we've established that, the lawyers can argue the rest through. So, okay, so Jesus rocks the locks, so you don't have to.
Okay.
He's got that lovely long hair.
Yeah.
Don't get cross. There's, you know, because of the whole crucifix. Yeah. Don't get cross.
I've got the tagline.
Go on.
The best amen can get.
Love it.
Love it.
And his two fingers up to the Gillette people as well. You can't get us on that one.
Okay, so we've got the tagline. We know what the campaign is. We need a bit of music.
Yep. Okay.
I mean, anything by Razor Light.
That would be good. I was going to say, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my... Oh, so have a hymn.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, shepherds would shear their sheep type thing.
Right.
Yeah. While shepherds shear their flocks by night. That's not quite the words, is it? We might have to do a mashup.
There's a hymn called Mighty to Save. Could we get that re-recorded? Mighty to Shave.
I like that. I like that a lot.
So we can have Mighty to Shave. We'll get someone to re-record that for the advert. So now we just need the voiceover. I mean, the two things that come to mind here. You've either got to go down the route, get the Archbishop of Canterbury on board to voice it, or yeah, so James Earl Jones.
I was thinking James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones, the voice of God.
Yes, that was exactly what I was going to say.
Or Morgan Freeman.
You've got the other one. Trev, we are so synced up. You're finishing my thoughts. I was going to go, my first port of call was James Earl Jones, and then I was thinking Morgan Freeman. You've beat me to the punch. It's got to be one of the two.
You can do a bit of a Morgan Freeman impression, can't you?
Not very good. Well, I was trying it the other day in the van, and it's really fallen apart over the years.
Can you try and say, in a Morgan Freeman voice, the best amen can get?
Are we using Harry's?
We can use Harry's. I don't think that really matters. Just free razors.
Okay.
Use all the other things you're going to throw in the ad.
Come to the church.
Yeah, it's falling apart, isn't it? Go on, keep going.
I told you, it's like a muscle. Unless you exercise it regularly, it gets weak. And I haven't used it since we were sacked from the radio.
Go on, go for it.
Harry's. The best amen. I don't know what the fuck happened to my Morgan Freeman voice. It used to be good once upon a time. The best. It's gone all southern. It's like Foghorn Leghorn now. I say the best a man can get.
Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. As usual, we finish up with some recommendations. I've got one film for you this week that I really enjoyed, and one that I started this podcast off very grumpy. There was a film that really pissed me off.
I wonder if I've seen it. Is it, how new is it?
It's a few years old, I think. It's a few
what
years
is it?
Old. Well, I'll tell you the film I liked first. The film is Black Klansman. Have you seen that?
I have not seen that, no.
It was on Film 4 the other day, or it might have been Channel 4, actually. And it's set in the, I think, late 60s. And it's about an undercover cop. He's a black guy joining the Ku Klux Klan. But he can only do it over the phone. So someone else has to go and do the thing in person, another cop. And it's a very dark, it's a dark comedy. It's a Spike Lee film. And it is absolutely amazing.
That sounds good.
It's absolutely superb. Very funny, but quite dark. And obviously a very serious topic. And I tell you what, the most shocking bit of the film is actually after the film. There's some stuff they show from recent times, and that just blows you away. Makes you angry, upset. So you have to be prepared for that. The film that really pissed me off, that really annoyed me, but I watched it through to the end, getting more and more annoyed, was The Conjuring Part 2.
Is that a horror film?
It's a horror film, and I don't know what the first one, I think, is about. Is it the Amityville murders or something? I've not seen the first one, but the second one piqued my interest because it was about the Enfield haunting, which we've talked right. about on the podcast before. The two girls that start talking in weird voices,
yeah, who basically admitted they made the whole thing up.
Well, I don't think they've ever admitted it. I don't think they've ever admitted. They admitted they did some of it, but they've never said they made the whole thing up. But honestly, the film kind of uses it as a basis. And I'm sitting there because I know the story quite well. I've followed that story quite a lot in different areas over the years. And this film just makes a lot of shit up. I just think if you're going to do a thing about a well-known case, do that. And there's a really good drama about that starring Timothy Spall, by the way. But don't just throw all this stuff away. You got these two Americans that come over, and it's just nonsense. And
so obviously it's not just a bit of artistic license. You consider this taking the piss.
It's absolutely taking. What pisses me off is that anyone who's not aware of the case would see this film and think, oh, so all of that happened. Just, it's wrong.
Well, maybe if we ever get around to The Conjuring 3, it can be the Thornton Heath poltergeist.
Yeah. Well, we can add loads of shit into that and get Bruce Forsooth in. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime. Rat Trev and Ben on Twitter, and we'll catch you again next week. Hopefully, I'll be happier next week, Ben.
Hopefully. I quite like...
do you like Angry Trev?
I do quite like Angry Trev. Like, it's been fun.
People who listen to the podcast think, oh, I'll tell you what, I could really do with a laugh. I mean, that's bigging ourselves up a bit. But you know, I'll put them on. You know, they can talk some shit. This week has just been me ranting for most of it. So anyway, we'll be back next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.